Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, thank you for the promises of your word and the warning of your word. That God, for those who love you, for those who have faith, for those who are obedient to your commands, we will one day be gathered up with you into the storehouse of heaven where we will dwell with it forever with Jesus. Thank you for that promise, and I pray that those that are here can cling to it, but thank you for the warning as well, that we might know, God, that there is coming a day where those that do not have faith, they will be cast out. God, I pray that not one of those that's here today will hear those words, depart from me, for I never knew you. That those as they are here today will take heed of this word, that they won't just play at church, they won't just attend church, they will be the church that is bought by the blood of Jesus. And as this word goes forth, I pray that TJ, as he stands and proclaims it today, that your spirit would go forth and use him as a mighty vessel for the salvation of one that might be here today that doesn't know Jesus. Great are you, Lord, and greatly to be praised. Move as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Many of you probably have heard the phrase, maybe you've said it yourself, told somebody this, but the phrase, hey, you've got to walk the straight and narrow. Maybe you see somebody that's living a life that's kind of out of sorts and they're following worldly ways and you can see that from the outside in and you go to that person and, hey, you got to walk that straight and narrow. You got to get it together. You're throwing curveballs. You need to hit the straight and narrow. Or maybe somebody's told you that. Maybe you've been on a path and it's been kind of a wild path and you hear that, the straight and narrow. And where that comes from is from Matthew 7:13. 7:13 says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and is the way is easy and it leads to destruction, and those who enter it by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And man, what I worry is that with everybody saying, hey, walk the straight and narrow, we get focused on just good behavior, straightening up our posture to look good in a world full of chaos, and we miss something very important in this. What I worry is that we have a bunch of people who want to find this narrow gate that leads to life, but they'll continue wandering down a path that's wide and easy because it's easy. What I worry about is we got a lot of people that want to find that narrow gate, or in their minds think that, hey, the narrow gate's a good place, and when I get to that gate, I'll walk through it. But they're not willing to walk down the path that's hard to get to it. We live in a world where so many assume that because they're around Christianity or they're around Christianese type things, that they belong to Christ. Some people will attend church. Some people will listen to Christian music. Some people will serve in ministries. And the real question is are they truly saved? Man, we can live this life and go through the motions. We can put on this Christian facade. We can come to church on Sunday mornings. We can come and grace these doors for 40, 50, 60 years of our life. We can serve in ministries and the nursery and go on mission trips and go to youth trips and serve in men's and women's ministries and all this and never have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus often spoke in parables to reveal the truth of God's kingdom. That's what he does in our passage today. He gives us this sobering picture of judgment for those that will not be found in Christ. In this passage, Jesus describes a dragnet. It's a fishing method where a net is cast and is cast out wide to gather all kinds of fish. But the real focus of the passage today, and I don't want you to miss this, is not the fishing part. It's not the catching of the fish. It's not the gathering of the fish. It's the sorting of the fish. Jesus wants us to understand that while the gospel invitation is for all, that there's a day coming when God will judge the righteous from the wicked. God's judgment is coming. It is upon us. You see, there's a universal call with the gospel, right? It goes across the globe. We have missionaries being sent out to faraway places. We've got local missions happening right here around us locally. We've got evangelism taking place in our schools. It's great. There's the gospel going forward. Disciples are being made. There's no race, no creed, no color, no nothing that's blocked from the gospel. It goes out to all. But God's kingdom casts a net that's a wide net, and his invitation is for everyone. This net that's cast, it represents the gospel message. He cast it into the world so that everybody can hear the truth of the kingdom. And just to paint a picture of what this net's like, because whenever I first started studying this, and as I've read it before in the past, I think about these little cast nets, like the bait nets we throw out, the little circle nets to catch bait fish. I remember the first time I saw that, I was down at Edisto fishing off of a pier. And this guy came out and threw this net. It was like 10 feet wide. And I was like, that is a big net. That's a good way to catch a bunch of fish. This is different. As I was reading about this and studying about how they would use this method to fish, it was like, whoa, this is crazy. This fishing net, think about a netted wall, a full-fledged wall, 25 feet tall, almost 1,000 feet wide in some cases. That is huge. You go to a basketball gym and stand under a basketball goal and look up to the orange rim. That's 10 feet. 2.5 times that is how tall this net was. Net is. And then 1,000 feet wide, because I have to paint this picture outside of feet. That's the way we do in America. In America, we measure things by anything other than what it, you know, measuring systems. 2 football fields wide is what this net would be. Close to 2 football fields. Almost 100-story building. It's 1,000 feet. This net was put into a body of water to drag across and gather all the fish, all sorts of fish. Nothing would escape it. The bottom rope on this net was weighted, so it sank straight to the bottom. The top rope was corked, so it stayed at the top of the water, and it would pull across this entire body of water, and it would gather all kinds of fish. It wouldn't miss any of them. That's how the gospel is to go out. That there would be not one person, not one ethnic group, not any place left out. Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." The gospel is to go out, to reach everybody, not to miss a single person. And when that happens, the end will come. There will be judgment. When this net gets full, it will be dragged out. And then what will happen is God's judgment will take place. Just like it is for the fish. When those fish are dragged out of that water, that is the end for them. The good fish are kept, but the bad fish are thrown away. They're not released back into the water. They're not moved to another pond. They're cast out. And what I want you to hear this morning is this. The church is full of people who have been caught in the net. But being caught in the net is not the same thing as being converted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some are in the net because they were raised in church. And some are in the net because they like the community of church, the idea of the family that we have here. Some are in the net just because they feel like it's a need that they have to be here out of tradition. The net gathers everyone. That's what our passage says in verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. While the casting of the net is likened to the gospel of the message, or the message of the gospel going out, the gathering of the fish is likened to the judgment that comes at the end of times, which is specified by God only, and only He knows when that will be. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God is being patient, wanting to see everyone call upon His name so that when this net is dragged up, we may not be cast out like the bad fish. But here's the reality. While everyone will be gathered, not everyone will belong to the kingdom. See, there's a day coming when God will separate the righteous from the wicked. When that net's pulled up, all the people from all places will be judged and sorted. That's why we have the mission that we have, to make disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God. That's what our passage says in 48 and 49. "When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good in containers, but threw away the bad. And so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous." This sorting process isn't at random. It's an intentional thing, and it's a final thing. When this net gets full, which is at God's appointed time, He will bring it ashore, and there He will send out His angels to sort out the evil from the righteous. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, with every secret thing, whether good or evil." Imagine everything that you think, say, or do being judged all at once. Everything that you think, say, or do being brought into the light, fully known, fully revealed, and you're judged for it. And this judgment is final. There's no second chances. There's no going back and doing again, no do-overs. There's no debating with God over it. When I was putting this together, I thought about my kids and how they like to debate about what their judgment should be and the disciplines that I put forth when they mess up, right? I think I have pretty good kids, right? But when they do get in trouble, they want to argue with me about my judgment concerning their discipline. They want to argue about why they did it, or what they did and why they did that, or whatever they want to argue about. You know they don't like the discipline, right? And as a parent, if you're a parent, you know that that argument only makes the situation worse. And then I thought about Matthew 7:22. There will be no arguing with God over this. His word is the end-all, be-all. Matthew 7:22-23 says this. "On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" There's no arguing with God. There's no second chances. What He judges is final. He's warned us of the punishment. He's given us the gospel. And so when the end of time comes, it doesn't matter how many church services we sat in. "Lord, Lord, didn't I sit in enough church services? Lord, Lord, didn't I watch enough babies in the back? Lord, Lord, didn't I attend enough youth events? Didn't I chaperone enough? Didn't I, Lord?" Without a relationship, you'll hear those words, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Revelations 20:12 says, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and then another book was open, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done." And this judgment is final. The dead that are trapped in their sin, that never put their faith in Jesus, they are judged according to what they have done. In our parable, these bad fish are thrown away. I mentioned earlier that they're not tossed back into the sea. This isn't a fun catch-and-release kind of day. The bad fish are not allowed back into the waters. They're thrown out. They're destroyed. And many people that will be gathered by God's judgment net, unexpectedly, they will face that judgment that they've been warned about, and they'll face that destruction. And so many assume that they have plenty of time to get right with God. So many people assume that they get their lives together first and then they'll come to church. Here's the thing. The gathering of this net will happen at God's appointed time. Not whenever you feel like it's ready, whenever you feel like you're ready, or whenever you feel like it's a good time. No one can even estimate when this will be. But when it happens, it'll be too late for those who are waiting around and playing games with God's grace. And so I got to ask you the question, if you were sorted today, where would you be placed? Would you be gathered up and kept by God, or would you be thrown into utter destruction? Would you be cast out from his presence? This is important for you to consider and think about. Take a hard look at your life and ask God to reveal to you the truth and the depths of the sin that's in your life and how you're living. I'd hate for you to assume that you're good just because you've been in church all your life or just because you've served in ministry at some point in time. See, it's about understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ and accepting him as your Lord and Savior. It's about intentionally living your life for him, living out the life that he's died to give you. Living that straight and narrow. Walking the hard road so that he's glorified by your life. Because all of the acts like teaching, serving, coming to church, none of those things can save you. Not even being baptized will save you. Only repenting of your sins and believing in Christ can. Only a true relationship with Jesus will bring upon salvation. And for those who reject Christ, for those who reject this idea, that separation leads to a terrible reality for you. Verse 50 in our passage says that these fish, or that the separation will have them cast into the fiery furnace. And in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, eternal separation from God is real, and Jesus warns us to take it seriously. Jesus speaks about hell many times throughout his ministry. And here in our passage, he describes it as a fiery furnace. You see, this is a place of suffering. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9 says, "In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the punishment for those who do not have a relationship with God. It doesn't matter how much you've served at church or how much you've gotten into the doors of church, how many meals you prepared for somebody, how many times you've helped the poor. Those good deeds are nothing compared to the relationship with Jesus Christ. In John 14:6 says, this is Jesus talking. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You don't get to the Father by doing good deeds. You don't get to the Father by not doing bad things. Judgment will fall upon you regarding only if you have a relationship with Jesus or not, on whether you have repented and believed. And those cast in that fiery furnace will experience eternal torment. It will be a place of forever suffering. And Jesus goes on to say that this will be a place of weeping, meaning that those who are not in Christ will experience eternal regret and eternal sorrow. Through this judgment, everybody will understand that God is real and that Jesus is the Messiah. People who were cast out will know that they have made an unforgivable mistake and that they will weep for all eternity in their own disgust, knowing that they had made a mockery out of Jesus' life. And know that I'm not just talking about those that are atheists that are outside of the church. I'm not talking about just the agnostics that are outside of the church. These are also the ones who will come and sit inside of a church, attend a Sunday service, attend a Wednesday night service, Sunday night service, and then they go out throughout the rest of the week and they live life like the rest of the world around them. What a mockery to Christ and what he has done. To come and to pretend to be something you're not, and then to go live totally different than what you pretended. Those folks, along with the atheists, along with the agnostics, they'll understand what they have done. They will have a forever sorrow, a forever regret. And Jesus also says that this will be a place of gnashing of teeth, revealing that there will be intense anger and frustration, understanding what was missed out upon. People will go from the God of their own life to the one true God, casting them into eternal despair. So many people want to live as if they are the gods of their own lives, getting what they desire when they want it, going after what they want. And yet when it comes to that judgment time, they'll have no more control. They'll have no more say-so. And because they had not desired Jesus Christ, they'll be separated from him. And so the one true God will cast them into eternal despair. And Jesus has spoken in parables. This is the seventh parable that Jesus has told right here in this message. He's been teaching, preaching. This is the seventh parable. This is a story, a fabricated story, a story that's made up to reveal a truth of God's kingdom. But as he is explaining hell here, know that hell is not made up. He may be making up stories to connect with and to help the disciples understand, connecting the dots to the spiritual realm of things, to the truth of the kingdom, but hell is not a metaphor. It's a real place with eternal consequences, and some people try to ignore it or downplay it because it's scary to talk about. They don't want to hear about it. People don't want to hear what doesn't make them feel good, but in reality, if you're not in a true relationship with Jesus Christ, that's your destiny. Because Jesus gives us this warning. Over and over and over, we see it throughout God's word, but here he gives us this warning, this clear understanding. And know that this warning goes past just a simple warning. It's also a call to repentance. He's helping us understand that this is the destiny for the wicked, but that doesn't have to be so if you call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus himself has come to fulfill the law, to defeat sin and death, meaning that by the grace of God, we can stop living in this sinful life and in faith live a life in relationship with Jesus, glorifying God with everything that we do. A life of holiness, a life that is everlasting. And when that net is dragged up, we'll be gathered together and we'll be kept by and for and with God for all eternity. I asked you earlier to think about and to have God reveal to you, to seek out your own heart, to see how you're living and the sin that's within your own lives, to seek out if you're in a true relationship with Jesus or if you're just going through the motions of coming to church because of something that you're supposed to do in the South. It's important that you do that. Because if you don't have that relationship, if you've just been coming to church because this is what we're supposed to do on Sunday mornings, or you're dragged here by your mom or your dad, or you're here because of, you know, a friend invited you and you're just trying to make them happy, know that this is your call. Your call to repentance. You've heard the warning of rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is your call. Heed the warning. Come and repent of your sins and believe in Jesus. Romans 10:9 tells us if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Don't wait. Stop playing games with God's grace. Stop clutching the pew that's in front of you. Humbly come before God and give him your all. That's what he's given you. Once you come to that understanding of the truth of the gospel, and you stop rejecting it, and you understand it, you accept it, and you have that relationship with Jesus, and for you that are saved already, you have a responsibility. Understanding God's truth comes with the responsibility to share it. Verses 51 to 52 say, "Have you understood these things?" And the disciples said to him, "Yes." He said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old." You see, Jesus asked the disciples if they had understood the breakdown of the parables. Not just this one about the net, but all seven of them. "Have you understood these things that I've taught you?" he's asking. From the parable of the sower to this one right here about the net. And he wasn't asking them, "Hey guys, were you listening to me? Can you tell me those stories again? Were they good stories?" He was saying, "Do you truly understand the depths of what I was talking about? Have you understood the truths, the spiritual truths behind the stories that I've told you?" He asked them if they understood. A few passages back in verse 10, the disciples asked Jesus why he was speaking in parables. And Jesus said to him, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven." You see, because of the disciples' faith in Jesus Christ and the truth being revealed to them, Jesus says that it is now their responsibility to share their truth with everyone else. He's revealed the secrets of the kingdom to them because of their faith in him. He's revealed to them the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, "Because you understand it, because I have given it to you, it is now for you to go and give it to everyone else." When God's grace falls upon us, we must understand that we have to do something with it. This is where coming to church is important. This is where serving in those ministries is important. This is where evangelism is important. This is where watching those babies and cooking those meals and helping out the poor, this is where those things become super important. Because you don't do these good things to get saved. They can't do it. But you now do them because you are saved. You are now able to participate in all of these various ministries so that others may see Christ in you and hear Christ from your lips. You live out the responsibility of helping others so that they can see the need for Jesus Christ. You give others the warning about the judgment and the call to repentance. We must become good stewards of God's truth. A lot of times that good stewards gets tied up with the financial responsibility, right? You hear to be a good steward of something, we're talking about money usually. A lot of people make money their treasure, right? But you got to think about God's truth as the treasure. That's what verse 52 is talking about. "Bring out your treasure," he says. "Share it with others." Patrick was just preaching the other week about how Jesus is the true treasure, more valuable than anything else ever. to be good stewards of that treasure. And people don't just get treasure and something valuable and hide it somewhere. They show it to others. They share it with people. Jesus being our most valuable treasure, he must be shared with everyone else. You were given this truth to share the truth. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach it to others also." This is our responsibility, to share Jesus with others and to teach them the truth of God's word. And teaching God's word is so important. And it was so neat. Me and Matt went out to eat Friday. Friday night, it was just me and Matt. We were hanging out, had some stuff we had to go do. We went out to eat, and we walked into a random Taco Bell. And I saw a dude sitting there, probably in his 30s, 40s, full beard. He was sitting across from a dude that appeared to be a teenager. Both of them had their Bibles open on a Taco Bell table. They were having conversation. I could see the dude pointing to his Bible, and he was teaching God's word. I couldn't tell where he was teaching it from, but it doesn't really matter, does it? Because there are new truths and old truths from God's word that we are to teach to everyone. That's what this is talking about. The Old Testament scriptures, like the law, the wisdom, the prophets, those are all the old truths that we can teach. And they're so important because they all point to Christ. They all point to the need for Christ. I mean, you can start in the book of Genesis and we can see creation and how beautiful it is and how everything is great and grand, and we make it just a couple chapters in, and then sin enters the world. And through that sin, we know that we need a Savior. God's plans revealed throughout the Old Testament. And so we can point to the need for Jesus and how the Messiah is coming and he is Jesus. And then you get to the new truths, the new covenant, the New Testament. This new treasure is the fulfillment in Christ, the covenant of grace, the hope in the gospel. You see, as faithful followers, we must draw from both of those, the Old Testament and the New Testament, to help people understand the full story of redemption. We must value the Old Testament and see how it points to Jesus and embrace the New Testament, recognizing that Christ brings the fullness of God's plan. So where are you today? The dragnet of God's judgment is coming. And where will you stand when this is pulled up ashore and the sorting happens? Some of you will be in that net, but not in Christ. You must repent and believe before this net is pulled up and it's too late. I don't care if you've been coming to this church for 40, 50, 60 years. If you've walked through those doors 2,000 times and sat in this pew and listened to sermons over and over and over again, if you've never put your faith in Christ, you've got to do that. Some of you are in the net and saved, but you're not living out your responsibilities as a disciple. It's time to step up and live out what God has called you to do. Glorifying him with your life and with your actions, being a willing vessel that will be led by the Spirit, trusting in the one truth that you have put your faith in. Go make a difference in the people around you as you make every effort to help them understand that the kingdom is at hand. Judgment's coming. There's destruction for the wicked. As we close today, the altar is going to be open. Whatever God is working on the inside of you right now, I want you to respond to him. Come before the Lord, bowed on your knees, humbly submitting your life to him. Whether that's to renew you and to light that little flame on a huge fire so that you burn brightly for him. Or maybe it's giving your life to him for the first time ever. Either way, respond to him this morning. Live a life that glorifies him. Make an impact to those around you. Be the light of Jesus so that other people that are right beside you in this dragnet, they'll be with you and the Father for all eternity. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, God, I love you. God, I thank you for who you are, how much you love us. Father, I'm thankful that you give us Jesus, that you give us your grace, that you give us your love. Father, I pray that as I studied this scripture, God, it convicted me in areas of my life where I have fallen short and I have failed myself. I've failed people around me. I have failed living a life for you. Lord, I pray it would convict many here this morning. God, I pray that you would work in us this morning. God, that you would show each person in this room, reveal to them the areas of sin in their life. God, reveal to them people in their life that they could go pour into. God, maybe there's somebody in here without a relationship with Jesus. God, I pray that you would reveal to them that need this morning to have that relationship. God, I pray just in thanksgiving for your salvation. God, I know that one day the end will come and you will drag all of us up out of this place and you will sort us, the wicked, from the righteous. And Father God, I pray just in thanksgiving that you gave us your Son. That way our sins could be covered. God, let us run to him. Let us desire him every day of our life, putting our focus on him, not on anything else, so that others around us would be impacted by you through our lives. Let us be willing vessels that go and teach and preach your good news. Willing servants that humbly go before others to serve them as you served us. God, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.